This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
It's a privilege to share the word this evening. How's everybody doing? Positive? Is it cool enough in here? Should we bring out those fans? All right. Okay. We had a great time this afternoon. Well, after the service this morning, we had an opportunity for children to be baptized. And David was very keen. I don't know if you heard me say this the other day, but recently he decided he wants to follow Christ. And so he was born again a couple of weeks ago. And the previous times when we spoke about baptism and there were opportunities for baptism, he was always very keen. Okay, and I said, no, you know, it's not yet, because obviously I wanted him to make a decision to follow Jesus first. You know, that's important. so before I just said, no. And this time, well, I couldn't stop him. You know, he said, no, he wants to do this. And I asked him why, and he explained to me, because Jesus died for him on the cross, and because he wants to follow him. And I said, okay, great, well, there you go. And so that was really awesome, really a privilege to baptize my son. In any case, let's get going. I must really get a shorter password. I must just not get it wrong either. Eh? Do it all over again. Are you one of those people that when you get one wrong, you delete the whole thing? Start over. Oh, it happens. Eh? In any case. Okay, let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, we are so in awe of you, Lord, of your goodness, of your faithfulness, Lord, in our lives. And yeah, even in the life of David, Lord, as we saw this morning as he got baptized with Anae as well. We thank you, Lord, that you're so good, Lord. And we this evening we bring our hearts before you. we humble ourselves, Lord, and we declare that we are not here to hear anybody's opinion, Lord. We're not here mainly for fellowship. We are here because we want to meet with you, Lord, because we want to leave here more like Christ. So we trust for that impartation of life, Lord. We trust that you would move in each one of our hearts, Lord. And we thank you that we can boldly approach, boldly come to you this evening, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Great. So we also had the Legacy seminar running this weekend. You know, was it positive? Anything? Yes. I spoke to one or two of you guys. I must say, every time I'm involved, it's a lot to cover in a weekend. You feel a bit like you've had some open heart surgery and the Lord has really done stuff. But it's really incredibly life-changing. And I want to re-encourage you, if you missed out this time, to jump in next time. But even, you know, even preparing for my sessions there, the Lord is really working in my heart. And I got all emotional at one point, you know, to really focus. But yeah, just again, overwhelmed with the goodness of God and his desire as a dad, his desire as a father to give us good things, his desire as a father to see us flourish, to see us abound, to see us really live in the fullness of his goodness. Amen. I suppose there was a bunch of things in my heart, and I read this great article that Tim Keller wrote, so I had to use some of his stuff as well, so it's all in here this evening. But the question I'm asking this evening is, are you and I, as children of God, are we really walking in the fullness of the inheritance that we have in Christ? Is it just something that we are kind of aware of, we're not sure of, and it kind of pops up now and again? Or are we really grabbing a hold of the fullness of that which Christ died for? Is it a case of, you know, when things go wrong and the wheels come off and our prayer life kind of increases drastically when things go wrong. And, you know, suddenly we try to really connect with God in that way, or we bring a shopping list to Him. Or is it a daily conviction that we have that we are children of God? And that because we are His, because we are in Christ, we have an inheritance that is from Him. And last night we were chatting after a braai, a bunch of friends, and one guy was saying that often, you know, when we talk about stuff like healing and, you know, something supernatural, somebody would say, oh, I'm not sure if I have that gift, you know, maybe I shouldn't pray for this. And he was just saying that, but isn't that part of who we are as children of God? Isn't that our birthright, that by the stripes of Jesus we are healed? Never mind what your primary giftings are, etc. That isn't that, you know, part of who we are in Christ, that we know by the stripes of Jesus we are healed, you know. And we were actually at one point joking a lot about kids and having children, stuff like that. I don't know why I'm thinking about that now. But I was reminded of, I don't know if you've ever done a long-haul flight with a small baby. Anyone? Anyway, so we did a whole bunch of these when we were still living in England. So those long-haul flights with small children. And one of the funniest things I experienced, and it was always, it afterwards, you know, after a while, it was a highlight for me, is if you can imagine, if you're getting onto this big airplane, and so it's got three blocks, right, of seats. It's a window, middle window, and it's packed, you know, economy class packed. And you walk down the aisle, everybody's looking at you. You know that feeling when you're walking down the aisle and everybody's checking out. But the funniest thing is when you come on and you have a small baby, they come around the corner and they see you and they go, he's got a baby, you know, and they're like, and you see even the unbelievers, they start praying because please let him sit next to me, you know. It's like, and you come closer like this with the baby and you pretend to sit down and like, oh, and then and then they're so relieved when you go past, you know. And then the poor person that you sit down next to, they're just devastated, you know. In any case, because obviously children don't always fly very well. But we're very blessed. Our kids really fly well. So every time afterwards, people around us would say, they were so good. You see, they were so relieved, you know. In any case, hallelujah. That's got nothing to do with the message. Let's read Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive, just pause there. So in this context, and often when the Bible speaks of sons, it's not a gender thing, it's a principle thing of a position that we carry, a position that we are in the household of God. So ladies, it includes everybody. Amen? Okay. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. I'm going to look at a bunch of points from these few verses. And I'm going to trust just for the Holy Spirit to minister to us as we just go through these, to stir in our hearts an urgency and a desire to walk in the fullness of that which is ours in Christ. Amen. All right, let's go. Actually, firstly, number one, security. Something that we have in Christ as children of God, part of our inheritance. So he says, let's read 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. What manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. And then John chapter 1 in verse 12 says, but as many as received Him, to them he gave the right, other translations talk about the power, he gave the right or the power to become children of God to those who believe in his name. So right there, for us, for each one that has received Christ, for us, each one that believes in his name, he has given the right, the power to be children of God, the power to be a part of his people, his promise, his blessing. And this is different to, there's many relationships in life, you know, if you think of an employee-employer relationship or a slave-master relationship, as we see often in biblical times referred to. And we just read there in Romans 8, it says that if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're sons of God, and have not received the bondage of fear, a spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption, that we are now sons. And if you think about our household or that employee-employer relationship, there's always that fear. Am I going to have a job? You know, is it? It's dependent. There's lots of conditions around this relationship. There's always a chance that job is not going to last forever. There's always a chance that there's going to be a break in the relationship. So there's a fear dynamic there, right? But in our relationship with God, in our relationship with Christ, there's a security that we have. That if we are in Christ, that relationship is secure. There's no fear of abandonment. There's no fear of God changing his mind. There's no fear of God being in a bad mood one day and just writing you off. You know that there's some religions where that happens, where people believe that depending on the mood of the God that they worship, that one day he might be benevolent towards them and the next day kind of wipe them. You know, that's a bit scary, don't you think? And so we have the security that in Christ, this is set and this is secure, that because of the blood of Jesus, because of what he has done, we are completely secure in our relationship with him. Amen? We have been called children of God. He's given us the right. Now, as children of God, we give up all our rights, okay? We lay down our will and our own will and our own desires, and we choose to follow him. It's, you know, Scripture says, take up your cross daily, die to ourselves. But this right we do have. Amen? And that's the best one, is to be children of God. Now, the question I'm asking this evening is, are you and I activating that right? Are we walking in that power to be children? Are we walking in the fullness of what it means to be children of God? Okay, so let's have this in the back of our mind as we go. Okay. Let's go on. Second one, authority. So in that first Romans scripture refers to us receiving a spirit of adoption and being sons. Let's read from Galatians 4. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So again, slaves don't have authority. Servants don't have authority in the household, but a son carries authority. An heir carries authority and receives delegated authority from the father to transact on his behalf. You know, in those days, the father would train up the child or the son in the family trade, specifically from the age of about 13. They would do it very deliberately. They come to a point where even the father would give his seal to the son so that he can actually literally do transactions on behalf of the family, on behalf of the father. And that is the same authority that God delegates to you and I. He gives us authority over sin. Amen? Authority over the devil. Of authority over darkness. Do we walk in that? Do we walk from the place of victory or from the place of authority? Often, you know, I think we get so bogged down with life and stuff happening and running around and trying to please people that we leave His authority somewhere. I don't know where. We park it somewhere and we just kind of survive. But He says, no, I've given you authority as sons and daughters to transact, to speak life, to speak with power and conviction, to over authority over sin and death, over darkness, to see His kingdom come wherever we go. So I want to challenge us this evening, whether it be your family, whether it be your place where you stay, I've been challenged as the parent again, am I invoking through the authority that God has delegated, am I invoking the blessing of God over my children? Am I doing it often enough? Most evenings we pray together with the children. Sometimes it's really chaos, but other times it's amazing, you know. When they're tired, you know, they just David, somebody just lies there like this, and he says, no, I'm too tired, you know, and in any case. But some evenings I specifically go to each one's bed, and we make a point of praying over each of them individually, and such a special moment, trusting God for a word, pray over them, trusting God for just to affirm them in who they are in Christ, just to pray identity and legacy and blessing over them. And I've noticed that Emily really is caught on to this. She's the youngest. She's three, just turned three this month. But she often, even when we've prayed together, she asked me, can I pray for her on her own as well? And then I must come and sit with her. I must put my mouth close to her ear. Then I must pray for her. I must pray those special prayers of her. So I don't know. I'm sure she doesn't understand half of what I'm praying. But it blesses me because I reckon somehow in her spirit she's experienced the blessing of receiving an impartation. Amen? Are we walking in that authority to invoke that blessing? To, you know, some of you here, I don't realize the power of the blessing that you are where God has put you. Did you know that you are plan A for your place where God has put you? You're God's plan A. Amen? For your workplace? Spawn, all spawn, right? He's put you there for a reason. There's some of you here that work in places where you, I don't know, all these scans, retina scans and thumbprints and security, and nobody can get in there. I can't get in there, but you can. He's put you in there for a reason, amen? We wield that authority. Speak life, prophesy life, speak His word, declare His purposes and plans over that place, over your family, over your community where you live, maybe over your class, over your race. Walk in that authority, amen? So the seal that I was talking about that they used to use as a way to seal a transaction. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a seal. To say God has given us His Spirit as a seal, as a mark, as showing this is my representative. The King of Kings has put His seal upon you to represent Him on the earth. Let's do it in a way that's worthy. Amen. Okay. Then intimacy. I want to read this quote by Martin Lloyd-Jones. He says, let us notice the word cry. We cry, Abba, Father. It's a very strong word, and clearly the apostle has used it quite deliberately. It means a loud cry, an expression expresses deep emotion. It is the spontaneity of the child who sees the Father, and not only spontaneity, but confidence. Confidence in my daddy. I'm reminded of that scene in the movie The King's Speech, where the king he just became king, the main character, and then he sees his two daughters. They see him for the first time after he's now officially king, and they want to run towards him, and then they have to stop first and they have to curtsy. You know, I'm not going to try it now, but they do this, the official, you know, showing respect to the king. And then they hug him. And with our God, it's similar. There's an understanding, a fear of God that we have that is very necessary. But at the same time, we can run into His presence. He invites us to come boldly, approach the throne of grace. So there's an intimacy that we call out, Abba, Daddy. We know He's the King. We know He's the one who spoke the universe into being. But yet He invites us to intimate with Him. That's our part of our portion that we have as children of God. We can be intimate with Him. And that's also where our authority stems from that place of intimacy. You know, in all through Scripture, we see this image of God calling people to Himself. Guys like King David, guys like the apostles, He calls them to Himself. There's an intimacy there. There's relationship there. And then He sends them. The sending cannot happen unless we've drawn near. Amen? The authority is difficult if we haven't had the intimacy. Okay? So let us draw near to Him with boldness. Let us grab a hold of that place, of that intimate place with Him. Okay. Assurance. Romans 8, I'm going to read verse 16 again. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And this is an amazing thing that happens. You know, it's something that's difficult to put into words sometimes. But when we are born again, when we come to Christ and we are born again, we are made new. We are born into a new family. And our spirits become alive to God. And we have, for the first time, a spirit-to-spirit connection with God Himself. And it says that the Spirit of God connects with our spirit in a way that we know that we are His children. I remember this so clearly when I got saved. I grew up around church pretty much. I remember as because my mom's German, we used to go to the German church here in town and then later to the one there in the east. And I wasn't so keen on church at that point, I must admit. I was probably two or three. And apparently my mom tells me when we went to Sunday school, I was not impressed with this stuff. Eh? Maybe I was discerning the religious spirit. I don't know. So, no, I didn't think so. But one morning I asked my mom, what's a really bad word? I asked her, what's the worst word that she knows? And I was looking for a really bad swear word. Okay. So she had to think quickly on her feet, and she told me Sand, which is the German word for soil or whatever, Grund, you know. So I thought, yeah, okay, I'm going to use this one. And then apparently I was lying under one of the chairs, kind of hiding in the corner, and then every time the teacher would say something, the Sunday school teacher, I would just say Sand, you know, I would just say. Any case. So clearly born in sin, you know. Anyway, so I was in and out of church, around church for most of, you know, my childhood. But I remember the day when somebody invited me to a church where there was a bunch of guys bringing the gospel in a way that I've never heard it before. In a way that made me realize that when we come to Christ, something changes. When we meet Jesus, we cannot be the same. And I was confronted with the reality that I must make a choice. That I have to decide for myself. My parents can't choose it for me. Nobody else can choose this for me. I have to choose whether I want to follow Him. I remember as a 12-year-old boy, I walked to the front in front of thousands of people. Not joking. It was a 6,000-seater. Walking to the front. I didn't have a clue about the deep theological stuff. But that day, I had this assurance in my heart. That day, I don't know, I couldn't explain it to you, but I had a peace of my heart that I knew that I now am a child of God. There was a connection with the Spirit, amen? And are we walking in that fullness? Are we walking in that assurance that I am a child of the living God? That no matter how deep the valley that I go through, no matter how high the success is, I am His child. And He will never leave me and forsake me. Amen. We have an assurance of our relationship with Him. And part of that comes from Romans 5:5 says that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So there's a conviction of His love for us. There's when we receive the Holy Spirit, there's this assurance and this, we carry this in us as His children. Amen. Okay. Let's go on. And then inheritance, as we've mentioned. Verse 17 says, if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Just give me 1 second. Oh, it's a pink one. Sorry. Emily would be very impressed. In her mind, everything must be pink. So the other day we were going to one of those big car warehouses. Those we buy car places, you know. Excuse me. And so there's this warehouse full of cars. We were at the buying part. And I said, do you want to look at any cars, Emily? She said, yes. Is there a pink one? So I said, I don't think so, but we can have a look. In any case, we didn't find a pink car, but yes, inheritance. Okay. So if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now the concept of being an heir here refers to the concept of being a firstborn. In those days, the firstborn, the heir, he would be called the heir, or he, well, I suppose in that case it would be he in those days, would be the heir, the firstborn, and he would get a double portion of the inheritance. And this meant that no matter how many children, so it could be 20, okay, doesn't matter, he gets 2/3. So he gets double. So if there were only 2 children, he would still get double. All right. And if they're 20, they have to divide the other third between the 19 others. And this is the kind of language he's using here. Are you with me? So he's not saying you're not a second-rate child in the house of God. He's not saying you maybe, you know, I felt before in praying about this, I felt there's some here that feel like the black sheep of the family or the, I don't know, we used to joke about this in Afrikaans, they talk about a witbroekie, you know. So it's the favorite. So we always used to joke that, no, I'm the roosterbroekie, you know, the burnt. I'm not the witbroekie, I'm the toastbroekie. But in any case, so I felt some of you, I'm joking about this now, but I felt before and that some are feeling like second-rate citizens in the household of faith, almost feeling like that you're not the favorite, or you're always at the end of the line. Maybe you feel is it a dynamic of illegitimacy. That yes, all these blessings and all this amazing stuff that God promises, it might be for some of His children, but I don't think it's for me. And I just want to point out that lie that's from the pit of hell. And Jesus, Paul Wright said that you are joint heirs with Christ. The firstborn, double portion. It's good enough for you. It's the double portion. Nothing less. The thing with an inheritance is not something you work for, guys. An inheritance is a bit unfair because you've got nothing, right? That's how God's inheritance works. We've done nothing for it. We haven't worked for it. We haven't paid for it. We haven't acquired it. We haven't been good. And then He says, okay, you're good enough. It's our birthright when we are in Christ. I just want to speak that of every heart that God says you are co-heirs with Christ. And His desire for you is such that it is the same as a double portion for you to be blessed in the same way, to live in the fullness of Christ. Scripture says that we have received everything pertaining to life and godliness in Christ. He says, joint heirs with Christ. Amen. We were chatting last night as well. Somebody mentioned that apparently, I didn't actually know this, apparently if you don't want to go to, you know, if you want to immigrate, go to another country, there's this whole thing of most countries you have to live there for X number of years and you have to pay money and you have to learn the language, and you have to write an exam. And then after all that stuff, you have to pay more money and then maybe you can become a citizen. Okay? The Swiss do this really cool thing. I actually think it's really cool. You have to be in the country for like 10 years, no jokes, and you have to live in a specific one community, the same community for a large part of those years. And then by the end, when you're almost there and you're going to get you're applying for citizenship, they have the community vote. Is this guy okay? Huh? Isn't that a cool concept? Is this guy going to be a blessing to our nation? And if you've just been sitting there and sponging on the system, they say, nah. I reckon that's cool. Anyways, but apparently, I didn't know this. Apparently, some countries, you can just put down a wad of cash, 7 million, bang, you can buy your citizenship. Hey, I don't know if it's dollars or euros or what it is. Go and do the sums. But we can't purchase this inheritance. We can't purchase this citizenship, but Jesus Christ has purchased it for us. And it wasn't 7 million, it was his whole life. He gave it. He paid that price so that you and I can be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That we become part of a new family. And as we walk in, you know, some of these, when we were living in England, you know, and I can understand the Swiss, you know, that when they asked him to join the European Union, they said, why? Why would you take 5 steps back? That's the attitude, you know. Why would we join the euro? That's like 10 steps back, you know. So they're a little bit aloof, and they feel they're so much better than everybody else. But that's why they make it so hard for you to join, to become a citizen. But it's for us, for me, it's similar that when we enter the kingdom, it's so much better. There's a new citizenship that we receive that. Our passport stamped by the blood of Jesus. Our mark and puts on us as a sign, as his spirit. And now we have the benefits of being part of this new family, this new, having this new citizenship. And he has purchased it for us. We have that inheritance. And we're going to have communion at the end. And we're going to remember the blood of Jesus and the bread, the broken body of Jesus. And what all of that encompasses is part of this inheritance. It does not only refer to the being free from sin. There's so much that is part of our inheritance in the cross. On every imaginable level of life and being, he's made provision for us through the cross. Are we walking in that fullness? Are we walking as heirs with Christ, joint heirs with him? Okay, let's go on. Another blessing that we have, it might not seem like a blessing, is discipline. Hebrews 12 from verse 9 and 10 says, since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. So that bit we read in Romans 8 talks about the little bit of the unpopular part of that scripture is that indeed if we suffer with him, so that's part where the discipline comes in. Sometimes stuff happens to us. It seems like things are going wrong. You know, maybe you fall ill or stuff, life happens. It doesn't feel like abundance of life, right? Difficulties come across our path, challenges, stuff we have to wrestle through, loss, disappointments. You can make a list, you know. And has it ever, you know, the enemy in those times, it throws this thought into our heads that, what is God punishing me for? Have you had that thought? What is it? Where did I go wrong? What did I miss? And I want to ask that question. Does God punish us when we miss it? Does God say, okay, yes, you stepped out of line, and let's just sort this guy out. Does it happen? I don't know about you, but often the enemy throws it at me. It's still. And we do this thing and we think, oh, did I miss it somewhere? Is God upset with me? Can we just deal with this lie? Jesus Christ has taken our punishment upon himself. Amen? For once and for all, he has taken the punishment that we deserve upon himself. And if you and I believe that somehow we deserve punishment, or we expect punishment, or we think that God is punishing us, what we're actually saying is that that Christ is not enough. And some of us here, we do this, we punish ourselves. We struggle to forgive ourselves for stuff. You punish yourself for something that other people have already forgiven you for. And I want to say, please stop that. Because you can't add to the cross. The blood of Christ is sufficient. He's carried that punishment, all of it, in its entirety. Nothing you and I can do can add to the work of the cross. Amen. God does not punish us. Jesus has been punished for us. So when we do experience these things, think of it as discipline. Think of it as Jesus, God, wanting to draw you closer to him. Trials and tribulations. Scripture talks about stuff, suffering that we have to go through. And all of that is designed to purify, to make us holy, to draw us closer to him, to deepen our trust in him, to draw us to a place of intimacy with him. Amen? All of that is designed to come for us to get closer to him and to become more like him. It's always good for us. Always. Are you with me? So what a blessing it is for us to know that he loves us so much that he would discipline, that he would draw us closer. Scripture says that those who are not disciplined are illegitimate sons. I'd rather be disciplined and be a legitimate son. Amen? So when you're experiencing those tough times, rather wrestle with God about the purpose, and rather wrestle with God embracing what he wants to do, but don't receive that lie of the devil that God is punishing you, or that he's rejected you, or he's abandoned you. Are you with me? Amen. Okay, let's go on. Finally, there's a family likeness. Last bit there of the Romans 8, but says that, yes, if we've suffered with him, that we would also be glorified together with Christ. And I want to read 1 Peter as well, chapter 4 from 13. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, because that's part of this purpose of the sufferings, that his glory be revealed. That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. How can we want to be more like him and expect that we will not always also experience rejection like he did? Being co-heirs with Christ almost, puts us in a category of being brothers and sisters of Christ to a certain extent, right? We're part of the family. And when we are in Christ, Christ, God imparts or instills in us, he puts in us the nature of Christ at the cross. And the more and more that becomes part of us, the more I decrease and Christ increases in me, the more I can expect to be rejected as he was. He was rejected because of who he was, not because of the stuff he did. Amen? So we can expect the same. But it's glorious. It's amazing. It's a privilege. that as we experiencing these sufferings, as we become more and more and more like Him, we are transformed into His image. So He says that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And then He says, yeah, if you're a reproach for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. What great joy. And we don't experience this every day, but I've experienced extremes. I suppose it's not extreme I haven't had my head chopped off, stuff like that. It still happens, guys. People across the world dying for their faith daily. The worst I've had is people spit in my face and tell me stuff, words, new words, didn't know before. But what a blessing that in whichever way it comes, we can trust that the glory of God will be revealed. Amen. So there's a family likeness as we are transformed into His image, as we are changed, as His character and His nature is more and more revealed in us. That His name is glorified through it. Amen. Amen. I want to, if the guys can prepare the communion, please. We're going to close soon. Can stand so long. We're going to just pray about a few things. So as sons and daughters of God, we have a security in Him. We have a security in our relationship with Him. We have a security in His nature, His very nature. We have received an authority over sin, of authority over the devil, authority over darkness, authority to transact on His behalf, to speak life, to prophesy over dead bones, to see life come into dead places, to see darkness flee, as you were saying, to see this light coming into situations. Amen. We carry that authority. Is a place of intimacy that is reserved for us. I sense here some that have, because of rejection in the past, that you are afraid of intimacy with God. There's a fear of rejection. And I trust that even as we pray in a moment, that the Holy Spirit will put His finger on that, and that the perfect love will cast out every fear, the perfect love of God. That you can be bold in your as you approach Him. That there will be no more fear of rejection. Thank you. It's a place of intimacy. And there's an assurance that we have. The assurance that is beyond explanation. There's a peace in our heart, and there's an assurance of our salvation. There's an assurance where there's that spirit-to-spirit connection with the living God. And this evening, in a moment, we're going to be praying specifically if you do not have that assurance. If you're here this evening and there's a lot of stuff you've wrestled with, and maybe you're at a place where I was constantly in fear. Am I good enough? Am I accepted? And I believe tonight God wants to give some of the assurance that is beyond understanding. To know, yes, that you have inherited. You are part of His family. That some for the first time God wants to give you that assurance of salvation. We have an inheritance. He disciplines those He loves. And He transforms us into His image. Amen. Okay, we're almost there. So if you've already received the communion elements, and as we're just handing them out, just where you're standing. If you could just close your eyes just where we're standing, just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to each one. Maybe you've not got that assurance, or maybe you've had that thing of feeling like a second-rate citizen. Maybe the enemy's convinced you that God is withholding some blessings from you that He gives to the rest of His children. Somehow you feel you're not worthy of that. Maybe you have a bit of a slave mentality around the family of God, feeling like you have to work to attain His approval or approval of the family, feeling like you have to achieve a certain bar, have the performance up to standard so that you can be accepted. This evening, I believe God wants to address every lie, everything it wants us to perform and to reach a bar or to work or to earn or to boast in our inheritance or boast in our salvation. There's nothing we can boast in except the cross. Let's pray. Hallelujah, Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your great love that you've demonstrated in such a powerful way on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that it's your desire for each one of us to have an intimate relationship with you. For each one here to have an absolute assurance that we are yours. As every eye is closed, if you're standing here this evening, and maybe you have been close to God at some point. Maybe you have been around church like me. Maybe this is your first time. Wherever you find yourself at, if you know this evening that you are not right with God, if you know this evening that you want to draw near to Him, if you know this evening that you want to receive His gift of salvation, if you know in your heart right now that you need to repent of your sin, you need to make right with Him, turn away from your sin, turn away from your old life, receive new life in Jesus Christ, receive His forgiveness, receive His great grace, allow Him to wash you clean, give you a clean slate, a new start. If you're at that point this evening and you say, I am ready to bow the knee before Jesus as the King of Kings, I'm ready to follow Him as my Lord and Savior, I'm ready to give up my rights and lay down all my ambitions and lay down my life to follow Him. And if you're at that place this evening, even if you feel God is calling you back and you've been far from Him, and if you feel this evening He's calling you back, and while every eye is closed, I want to ask you to be very bold, to put up your hand, to say, Lord, here I am. I'm coming home. I want to draw near to you again. I want to be a son in your house. Thank you for those hands. I want to be a co-heir with Christ. I want to have that assurance in my heart. Thanks for those hands. If you put up your hand, you can put it down again. Sense there's a wrestle going on in one or two hearts. There's still a voice telling you that no, you've gone too far. You're beyond the grace of God. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus is nothing beyond His salvation. There's nothing beyond the blood of Jesus. He says His blood and His love covers a multitude of sins. So every eye's closed. If you know you want to draw near to Him this evening, why don't you raise your hand just for a moment? In fact, thank you so much. In fact, I want to ask you to do something really bold. If you've raised your hand, there's been a couple of hands. I want you to ask you to do something really bold. Take your belongings and step out from where you are and come to the front. I want us to pray together before we have communion to receive this invitation of the Father that is drawing us near. It's a step of faith. It's a bold step. And I encourage you just to where you stand. Won't you step out from where you are? Just join us in the front here. We're going to pray together. Bring your belongings. Bring it with you. Thanks so much. Thanks so much. This is a bold step. Let's give the guys a hand. I mean, there's a couple of more. Thanks so much. Great stuff. Thanks, guys. Please talk, come closer. Thanks. Anyway, we're going to, before we have communion, we're going to just pray together. And I want you guys to pray after us. We're all going to pray together. We're just going to bring our hearts before God. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love for me. Today, Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. Thank you, Lord, that you love me so much that you gave your Son in my place. That Jesus, you paid the highest price so that I can be free from sin and death. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. That God has raised him from the dead. That he's my Lord and my Savior. I choose to follow him. I choose to repent of my sin and to receive new life. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness right now. Thank you that you take the weight of sin off me now. Thank you that I can hear your voice. Thank you that you wash me clean. You give me a clean slate, a new start, and that you will never leave me, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We would all cheer now, but we've all got stuff in our hands. But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to, just before we pray for you guys, we're going to have communion together. Father, we thank you for the body of Jesus that was broken for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you took our punishment. Your body was destroyed for us, punished, beaten, tortured, so that we don't have to carry that. Thank you for the fullness of provision that is in the body of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that through the broken body of Jesus, you have made provision, Lord, in every imaginable way for health and life, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, on every imaginable way, you have provided fullness of life. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, we invoke the power of the broken body, the fullness of that provision. We invoke it over our lives, over our families, over our communities. We declare, we thank you, Lord, for your fullness now in Jesus' name. We thank you for health, God, and life in Jesus' name. Let's eat together. Thank you that the blood was shed for each one of us, for every soul. Thank you that blood that was shed on the cross is still there in the ground. And it still speaks, it still declares the same message of salvation, of redemption, of new life, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that through the blood of Christ we are made new. You paid for our sin. You wash us clean, Lord. We do this in remembrance of you. We thank you that the blood is sufficient. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you went all the way. That you not only died, Lord, but you overcame death. And you rose from the grave, Lord. We thank you for the same power that is in the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead is in us. And we thank you for the resurrection power of Christ that is at work in and through us, Lord. We proclaim it over our lives. The blood of Jesus is sufficient. We proclaim it over our city and over our nation. The blood of Jesus is sufficient for you. We thank you, Lord. Let's drink together. Right now, Lord, as we celebrate the cross, we choose again to walk as heirs with Christ. We choose again to say, yes, Lord, thank you for our inheritance. Thank you for the fullness of the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the fullness of sonship in Christ and in your house, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you stir in our hearts an urgency, Lord, to walk in the fullness of your inheritance daily. Lord, not only what you call us to do, not only the good works that you've prepared for us, not only your purpose and your blessing, but the fullness of intimacy, the fullness of sonship, the fullness of our inheritance, Lord, every day. Thank you, Lord, that we would invoke it, that we would pray it, that we would prophesy it, that we would pray it into being, that we would take a hold of it, Lord, in Jesus' name, so that your glory be revealed in us. Your glory be revealed in our nation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And we have some facilitators come to the front, please. We're going to pray for some guys. I want to really encourage you, if the Lord has been speaking to you specifically, and if you know that you, did we say drink together? No. Did we have, okay. And you know you need to make a change in terms of walking in that fullness, I want to encourage you to join us in the front and pray with somebody. Amen. And I want to, if there's any other prayer need, God has not changed his mind. He's made provision for you. And specifically this evening, if you've been wrestling with that illegitimacy, if you've been wrestling with that feeling like the less second-rate citizen or second-rate child in the house of God, an orphan, I feel God wants to break that curse of your life. He wants to start that process tonight. Amen. So I want you to be really bold that if that's you, to please come to the front. I feel this is going to be a watershed moment, and your relationship with God will never be the same. But you need to break that thing, that lie. Amen. So thanks so much for being here this evening. Please come to the front if you need prayer, if you need healing, if there's any other prayer need. God has made a way. Amen. So please join us. We'd love to pray with you. God bless you. Please, if you aren't going to receive ministry, please fellowship outside. There's some refreshments there. If you're visiting, please fill in that card for us. We'd love to connect with you, and please hand it in there at the visitors area. It'd be great for us to connect with you again. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. If you're writing exams, go in the fullness of God's blessing. Amen. And we're praying for you guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.